Hey, Mark Halfon joins us. The book is Tales from the Dead Ball Era. Ty Cobb, Home Run Baker, Shoeless Joe Jackson, and the wildest times in baseball history. Mark, nice to have you with us.
Thank you for inviting me on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting the way this is approached. The game itself was crazy. It was cheating and all sorts of stuff.
Widespread cheating.
Yeah, all stuff going on. And then on the other side, the fans were falling in love with baseball. They brought stuff on the field. They idolized the players. How did all that come together? Then it sort of coalesced into the 20s and things like that. I'd love to get an overview from you.
Well, cheating was rampant. It was part of the game. And actually, one of my favorite quotes, Rogers Hornsby, former Hall of Famer, says, if a big leaguer doesn't like cutting corners or playing with cheaters, then he's as much out of baseball as a missionary in Russia. They cheated in every way. Steroids is an aberration. Cheating was built into the very fabric of the game. And at the forefront, for Giants fans, was the inimitable manager, John McGraw. And for Giants fans, again, the Giants were one of the best teams, one of the most exciting teams, one of the most controversial teams. And they would do wild things. McGraw, one of the things that would happen during games is McGraw and his teammates would block runners as they were running through the bases from first to second to third. Now, it was difficult for the umpire to see, and I say umpire because at the time, in the early 1900s anyway, there was a single umpire. He couldn't see everything. And McGraw did things like putting his finger in the inside the belt of a runner trying to tag up from third base. They cheated at will. They cheated at will, and with little repercussions from baseball officials.
You know, even that era, let's say, and again, this is an important era of baseball because everything built on that era and to the game we love today. But they were rowdy people. I mean, these are the players you wouldn't want to invite into your home. These were
tough guys. Yeah. In the very early 1900s, the esteemed Connie Mack and the Athletics tried to get into a hotel. You know, they were on the road, and the hotel clerk says to them, "Sorry, we don't accept baseball players." I mean, it was a different day. They were fighting all the time. Fights not only between players, but between players and fans, between players, fans, and umpires. I mean, it was a raucous time. There was one incident where it was a great pitcher with the Philadelphia Athletics, Rube Waddell, and he's being taunted by the fans. And many of the fans are on the field. They're literally pretty close to you. And they're on the field, and they're saying everything they can. No limits, you know. Shoeless Joe Jackson, who was illiterate, they'd yell at Shoeless Joe, "Joe, you read any good books lately?" You know?
Yeah.
And but anyway, they're giving it to Waddell, who had reached his limit. He goes into the stands, beats up the fan, and goes back to the mound, finishes the game. The next day, the New York Times writes, "Rube pitched a lot better after he beat up the fan."
Yeah.
Not even a thought of suspending him or admonishing him in any way.
Crazy. Yeah, really crazy. Now, I leaf through the book, and I really enjoy it, and I really do recommend it. I like it. It's Mark Halfon is with us, Halfon. The book is Tales from the Dead Ball Era, and you really wrote it well. It's really easy to read, and it follows very nicely.
Thank you. That's something I had worked on for not just the content, but I try to write it away that would be accessible to anybody who knows the least bit about baseball.
Yeah, yeah, and the names are familiar, and the way you explain the stories I like. Now, something that you wrote about was what the locker room looked like at that time, and the you know, you didn't have the showers and all that kind of stuff after a game. Was kind of strange.
First of all, you said locker room. Early on, there was only one locker room for the home team. So the visiting team had to stay in a local hotel. They would dress before the game. They would dress at the hotel and take their bats, gloves, and walk to the ballpark.
Mm.
And if it was McGraw and the Giants walking to the ballpark, there was going to be some raucous behavior. I mean, you know, McGraw loved the Giants. He was a great manager. He brought them World Series. But he was he was a confrontational figure. And He was, but more than anything, he helped shape baseball, the strategy. Some of the things we take for granted today in baseball can find its roots with McGraw and the Giants.
The dead ball era was played. They didn't have home runs, and, of course, it changed with Babe Ruth in 1920, really. They played differently. They played a different kind of game. Now, today we talk about, boy, you got to play smart baseball, move runners along, throw the right base and all this. And, you know, the home runs are still prevalent, but we're sort of coming back to playing intelligent baseball again, and that's what was sort of the dead ball era.
To a degree. Let me just give you a couple of stats that may be eye-openers to people today. The Chicago White Sox, the original hitless wonders, in 1908, the team hit three homers for the season. You know, you have players that have hit four homers in a game. So they hit three homers in the season, and it wasn't that odd. The Phillies that year hit five homers. Another team hit eight homers for the season. But in fairness to the ball players, they weren't trying. The baseball was dead. You had these cheap owners who required the umpire to go into the stands to retrieve the baseball. There were baseballs sometimes used for an entire game, and the ball started to unravel and was dark, and the fences were 500 feet away. In fact, if you try to hit on McGraw's team, you could get in trouble. So it was a very different time, and there were homers, but they were inside the park homers, many of them. So Ty Cobb, here's an interesting thought. Ty Cobb led the majors in homers without hitting a single ball out of the park. In 1909, he led the league with nine home runs, every one of them inside the park. So we may be getting back to some of the dead ball era themes, but it's a long way to go back to that day. And I think it's just wonderful history.
All right, now, baseball changed, and I brought it up when I introduced you today. I mean, Pete Rose and people argue, let him back in the game, and, you know, gambling, he was a manager, but, you know, let him back in. The game around 1917, 18, 1920, culminating in the White Sox, the Black Sox scandal there, I mean, gambling was so rampant, you couldn't have accepted anyone who gambled, and that's sort of the basis of the Rose suspension and why he's banned from the game. That comes from a very long history.
Was gambling in those days, the owners were gambling. It was in the sports pages. You know, Dreyfus, one of baseball's owners was a heavy bettor. You know, McGraw openly bet on games. He said, "I won $500 betting on the Giants to win the World Series in 1905." And Clark Griffith, the owner of the Senators, would brag about winning bets. And when he heard his team bet on games, he said, "Well, it's no big deal as long as they bet on themselves." So you have Hall of Famers, virtually every Hall of Famer from that era bet on baseball. But it was thought to be permissible if you were betting on your own club.
But then it changed.
The problem is it changed. It changed when people started betting against their club, which is why the 1919 World Series, when the White Sox, Black Sox threw the series, was such a shock. So players bet, players cheated sometimes, but the public thought, you know, that's part of the game. They didn't do anything terrible, and baseball was very popular throughout the era, except during First World War. It slowed down a little bit.
Well, it certainly changed, and as I say, that's the basis for Rose not getting any sympathy from any of the people in charge of baseball, because it goes back to the roots of baseball and why it had to be straightened out.
It goes back.
Yeah, it does. Hey, Mark, I appreciate you being on. The book is Tales from the Dead Ball Era. Ty Cobb, Home Run Baker, Shoeless Joe, and the Wildest Times in Baseball History. Mark, where do you get the book?
You can get it at Amazon. There's information my daughter created for me, a Facebook page. So if you go Tales from the Dead Ball Era, you can find it on Facebook. But Amazon.com or my publisher, Potomac Press, has it. But Amazon is probably the easiest.
Well, I appreciate you being on. I enjoyed it, and I'm going to continue to leaf through it and find some other little nuggets here. So thanks for being on.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate the time. Have a good day.
All right. That is Mark Halfond. You can tell by the voice, right, Raph? Brooklyn, right? Brooklyn all the way. New York. Sounds like Judge Ed Stern. This is a baseball man who loves the game of baseball. So I like to have mine. I like the book. I honestly, you know, it's one that I want to get him on once I I saw it. I said, boy, the way he writes, it's just easy to pick up his story and to follow it. You know, sometimes you read books in that era, get so complicated with names you've never heard of before, but he really weaves it in very nicely. And I thought the part about the gambling of baseball and also the way the home run came in and the baseball changed. Now they used a sewing machine, supposed to hand-sewn baseballs, and the cork was different. So all that happened and, you know, how it happened. But the gambling part for me really was interesting because we take up that Pete Rose issue so many times. And when you realize and you go back to the way baseball was, it's like that's a zero tolerance. You want to talk about Jim Harbaugh and all the things going on today. That is zero tolerance. You just can't put up with gambling. Now, should he be in the Hall of Fame? That's another story. But certainly the gambling part being in baseball cannot be tolerated.